Welcome to Hochoka Podcast.
Hello, Mitaki Epi, and welcome to Hochoka here at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus. I'm Scott Wooster, today's Hochoka host. We're glad you've joined our circle to hear from Makah Black Elk, Executive Director of Truth and Healing at Red Cloud Indian School. In this second of a two-part series, Makah Black Elk explains the ongoing and profound impact of boarding school history on Native America today. Makah unpacks for us the living reality of that history for boarding school descendants and the vital, even urgent work of truth and healing. So once again, Makah, thanks for being here. It was good to have you in Hochoka.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Uh-huh. So you talk about this history, the indigenous history, the Lakota history, being sort of a family history for indigenous people. Say more about what you mean by that, please.
Yeah, thank you. You know, so it's one thing to think about this history in sort of an abstract way. It's another to sort of really take the time and recognize that every single indigenous person in this country has either direct experience of the boarding schools themselves, if they're elders today, or are descendants of people who were direct experiencers of the boarding school system. There's almost no indigenous person who is not directly connected to this history. And, you know, we talked about in the previous conversation that this history is something not a lot of non-Indigenous Americans know about. Mm-hmm. And it is something that a lot of Indigenous peoples know about because it's just a part of our family experience. Mm-hmm. Every single Native family can point to an elder, an ancestor who went to one or more of these schools and can maybe even say or describe some of their experiences, whether positive or negative, in those schools, and overall feel the impact of that.
So how does this history still impact Indigenous people today?
It's definitely a history that is felt, I think, very keenly by many Native communities today because, you know, there are many consequences of a system that was designed to essentially erode the Native family unit. Mm-hmm. You know, in the beginning, when these schools first started, it was by law that Native peoples had to send their children to these schools. Otherwise, they would face imprisonment or forced starvation. And so that was a system that essentially removed children from their homes for long periods of time, if not all year long, in some cases, as time went on. And so you have a period of history, a long period of history, where 80% or more of children in communities, school-age children in Native communities across this country, gone, and families not having that. So there are consequences to that I think resonate throughout Native people today, and they can paint and tie a direct line, sort of draw a direct line from the experiences of boarding school to some of the challenges that their communities face to this day. You know, it wasn't a secret, and it's not a secret that these schools were, at times abusive in their use of discipline or use of corporal punishment. People didn't experience sort of the normal family life and the normal kinship system that they may have had they not have been in that setting. And so, you know, it makes absolute sense that people would raise their children in a way that the only way that they knew how. And for many people, the way that they knew how was what they experienced in boarding school. And so, you know, people can point toward some of the issues that Native communities face today, you know, rates of domestic violence or drug and alcohol addiction or rates of sexual abuse, and turn and say that some of that might have come from people's boarding school experiences. And I don't think that's an unfair assessment. And so that's something that is really why it's relevant today. It matters that that was the history and that was the experience. And I think I would just want to say quickly, as Catholics, it's really important to not only recognize just the audacity of that history and name it, mm-hmm. and sort of question, like, wait, why were Catholic people involved in the running of these schools? And I think it's important to look at that and say we should be angry about that, mm-hmm. because it's in direct violation of our faith, you know, which stems from the reverence for the Holy Family. We believe that the family is the first teacher, and yet we were involved in a system that interrupted family radically. And we can own that and say that's something that should never have happened. And so we should do everything we can today to try and address that and fix that.
Well, so here we are today, right?
Yeah, this was government policy.
It was.
And it's important. I mean, I think, you know, people who look at this issue for the first time, you know, I think the sort of instinct maybe to sort of become a little defensive about this history. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I think we don't necessarily want to question the integrity of individuals, whether they felt that they were doing good or bad, or even whether the government felt that it was doing something good by, you know, quote unquote, trying to civilize Native mm-hmm. people and sort of bring them into American culture and teach them English. You know, we can certainly talk about why some of those things were beneficial, but the overall impact, the overall way in which it was done was through a means of violence, and that's never acceptable. And so though, you know, we can look to individual elements and say, well, that was good, right? It was good that Native people learned English in a world where now English was becoming the dominant language. It was good that Native kids were learning the academic subjects and now able to sort of launch themselves into modern careers, right? Like, yes, we can point to those things and point to those things as inherently good, but the system overall was rooted in sort of a racist and undignified system mm-hmm. that didn't offer Indigenous peoples their agency in navigating that themselves and entering into that accord and that compact themselves.
Right.
And so that's how I think, just for people who are, you know, wondering, wait, how do I make sense of this history when it seemed like some of these things were good?
Yeah.
I think it's just important to recognize that two things can be true at the same time.
Absolutely. So you and I understand this history. We understand that there are things that need to be done to progress and to progress through truth and healing. We want that, right? So what do you say to somebody who might deliberately at this point ignore that and who might just say, hey, the history is history. We need to move on from that. There's no point going into the past. There's no point dealing with this. We have to keep going.
I think it's an important question even to just take seriously. Because what I always say to someone who says, and I even hear this from other Indigenous peoples, who say, why can't we just move on from this? Why can't we do that? And my response is, that's the goal. The goal is to move on. Mm-hmm. The goal is to get over. The goal is to overcome. But we need to do some things to truly get there, because we have to recognize that those impacts were long-lasting, that they're still present today, that the history isn't irrelevant, and that we need to do some acknowledgement and do some real difficult work of dialogue to bring people to a place where they can move on, mm-hmm. where it can become something that no longer holds this traumatizing grasp on their ability to you know, be fully realized human beings. I mean, trauma does that to people, right? It holds you back. It hurts you. And in order to get over that, to move on, to overcome, it means we have to heal the wound. Mm-hmm. The worst thing you can do for a wound is leave it alone. It becomes infected. So that means we have to do some cleaning, we have to do some dressing, and we have to give it the attention and respect that it deserves. So while, I understand that feeling of mm-hmm. wanting to just move on, I think it's important to recognize that's the goal for everyone. Mm-hmm. It just means we have to do some things to get there.
Right. And I like the way you answered that quite a bit, because the question of why can't we just move on is a harsh question. It really is. It can be seen in that way. And the way you answered it, I think this is the style that I appreciate about you, Makai, is it was magnanimous, where you said we need to understand the question that's being asked and deal with that. What I'm hearing you say is not in a combative way, but in a way that tries to understand the question, tries to come up with an answer, and then tries to move forward, being able to see where we need to go without causing a further rupture between folks who started out not understanding each other in the first place.
Absolutely.
If you could ask everybody to do just one thing to advance truth and healing, what would that be for you?
Well, I'd ask them to do many things, but yeah. If we're going to boil it down to just one, it's really, really important that people take the time to learn about this history. Mm-hmm. There's still so much unknown for people, right? And mm-hmm. you should get a more than just a rudimentary understanding of this history. And you should ask yourselves, what happened to, I'm sure you have listeners from all over the country, right? Like, mm-hmm. People need to be able to ask themselves and be able to answer, what happened to the Native peoples where I currently live, right? Do I even know who the Native peoples are where I currently live? Like, whose land am I on, mm-hmm. who once lived here? And what happened to them? What's their history with these boarding schools? And where am I even connected to that in the space that I live, right? In the space that I occupy? I think it's important to even just begin there, begin by learning and understanding that history yourself. And then I think there's a responsibility to share that. And so it's about learning and sharing that with others, because the first hurdle to any, I think, effort at healing is overcoming ignorance. Mm-hmm. And so we have to take the time to tell the story, educate others, bring people up to speed on, why this history matters and why it should be shared and told, in order to get to that place where we can, quote unquote, do something about it.
Right. Absolutely. And I think before you can learn something, you have to bring an open mind to the opportunity to learn as well. And as I look at you and the work that you're doing, and having spent a little time with you here, I feel really good about what you bring to us and what you bring to this project of truth and healing, an open mind, open heart, or good chante. And I look forward to some good things coming out of this. So I appreciate having you here again, Makha, in Ho-Choka.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great to share.
Absolutely. And we thank all of you for joining us here in Ho-Choka at the center of St. Joseph's Indian Schools campus, where we talk about issues central to Native American education today. Until the next time, stay centered.